Morning.
Praise the Lord. It's so exciting to worship the Lord with you. We have Mike, thank you for so much for doing the announcements. We recently transitioned, and that way you didn't have to see my face up here so much. So Mike is love. I just love Mike Kelly. Anybody else love Mike Kelly? So Mike had mentioned Memorial Day, and so here's what I'd like to do this morning. All right. Tell him I said hi. I don't know what that is, but. So I get distracted real easy, if you hadn't noticed. Here's what we're going to do. In honor of Memorial Day, as we consider our freedom, we've got American flags all over the room. If you're a veteran, we are so thankful for you. Can we just kind of take a moment, and we're going to take a moment of silence. I'm not usually a big fan of moments of silence, because I'd rather pray. So we're going to do both. We're going to just take a moment. I'm just going to encourage you to close your eyes maybe and just consider the freedoms that God has given us. The unfortunate thing is it may have cost some servicemen and women their lives. Can we just take a moment and as I conclude that this part of it, I'm just going to pray and give God praise and ask Him to be with those who've lost loved ones. Father, today, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedom that we have today to come and worship you together, the freedom for many things, God, in this wonderful land, the United States of America. We are thankful. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just be with those families who've lost loved ones. And they purchased our freedom. They gave so that we could continue to be free. We are thankful today, Father. And I ask that you would encourage, ask that you would give strength. I ask that you would be with those veterans who know what it's like, who saw, who were there, who witnessed. Would you bring healing to them today? We are so grateful, God. We are so grateful. Thank you for family. Thank you for those who sacrificed. What an example. And we give you all the praise for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we get into our message this morning, Mike did mention it this morning, earlier in the announcements. I want to reiterate it. This week is youth camp starting on Wednesday, Wednesday through Saturday. So please, I beg of you, pray. Pray that God would move in the lives of students, that God would move in the lives of our leaders. I don't know how many students will be at this camp. There may be limiting camp as far as numbers, but a lot of times there's 500 or 600 people at those camps. We need God to show up.
Yeah.
Amen. We need the speaker to speak what the Holy Spirit wants him to say. And that though we need to pray, I'm asking you to pray that the kids would have a blast, but they'd also hear what the Spirit has to say to them. That's important. So, thank you for praying. I want to mention also, Golden Valley Hospital is asking and looking for hospice volunteers. If that's something that you think that you could do, please talk to me. I'd love it if they simply are asking for volunteers. There really is not any experience necessary or any special training. What it is companion volunteerism. And so basically it's just to sit with somebody and become their friend and sit with them a little while here and there. That's something you can do. Let me know, please. And then I'm excited now. We're going to get into part three of our Design of Pentecost series. And today, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, continuing on in this series. It is very, very important because we understand the last two Sundays I tried to walk you through Scripture and point out that this was God's design, that the being filled with the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit was part of God's design. Matter of fact, I showed you last Sunday that this was the clear purpose in the New Testament, that believers were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is God's intention, that every believer be filled with His Holy Spirit. Okay, tried to show you that last week, the week before, the first Sunday of Design of Pentecost series, we talked about the three festivals and how the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was direct fulfillment of the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, meaning the festival of first fruits. God was saying through that the Him pouring out His Spirit in the last days, starting at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, was the fulfillment, was God saying, hey, this is my first fruit of me filling my people with my Spirit. And so today we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is an empowerment for service. Okay? This is all part of it. And I could not fit all of this in one Sunday. Wish I could, but I can't. That's why we're doing it three Sundays. Matter of fact, there's still more. This is just such exciting stuff. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 1. If you do not, it should be up on the screen. If you're watching from home, you may or may not be able to read that. I'm not sure. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We in Pentecostal churches, we understand, we talk about this scripture often, and I think for good reason. We're going to look at it this morning. Jesus says, but guys, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? You'll receive power. And what is that power for? Well, He tells us. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, and throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life, is to help us, to give us a boldness to testify and give witness of who the Lord is. Amen. That's the purpose. Okay? And I'm going to take you to some other scriptures, because there's even more than that, and God helps us to be able to do these things. But look, He says, you will be my witnesses. I'm going to give you power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll get this supernatural power to be able to share the gospel with others, to be able to tell them about me, and you'll be my witnesses of who I am. Amen. And He goes on and says, that you're going to tell them here in Jerusalem. Okay, that was where they were. So for us, that would be Warsaw.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, He says, then throughout Judea, that would kind of be our region. That would be like Missouri and Kansas, maybe. Maybe into Arkansas. Anybody love those in Arkansas?
Yeah.
Okay, you bet. Jim, I saw that hand. Jim comes from the land of Arkansas, I believe. And so then to Samaria. So it just keeps getting broader until everybody's included.
Yeah.
Right? And so what a blessing. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to win people to Jesus wherever we are. And you know, it's interesting because we've got like 20, I think 27, 28 missionaries on the wall back there, and they're at the ends of the earth.
Right.
Literally. Many of them are places that you might not have ever even heard of. And likely have ever been to. Right? What a blessing. And that's why we send them, because God calls them to go and do that, but God calls us to reach people right here in Warsaw. And God calls us to give so that those missionaries can go and do what God has called them to do. But let us not just give money so that somebody else can go and do our job.
Right.
Oh, come on. Right?
Right.
It's our job. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with a boldness, to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else. This is a blessing. It's a blessing. I I love the gospel. Do you love the gospel?
Amen.
Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer for service. Empowers the believer to share the gospel with someone else. And I think even beyond that, look at Isaiah. We're going to go back to Old Testament here for a moment. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Matter of fact, this is a passage that Jesus himself, when he took the scroll in the temple, in the synagogue, he took the scroll and he found this passage. And he says, in the hearing of those that were sitting there, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Now listen, I believe that this can be the same for us because we're filled with the Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus Christ. Okay? Now we know that Jesus is the Savior and we're not. You can't get that one confused.
Right.
Okay? Because if you haven't gone to a cross, then it can't happen. But then our blood isn't pure blood like Jesus' blood was.
That's
right. In other words, he was sinless. Right. And so he says in the hearing of those that were present, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor.
Amen.
He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." That is what Jesus was, the ultimate fulfillment of that. And he, by the power of God, read that and was basically reading that over himself and helping the audience that day to realize that he was the one.
Amen.
That verse, all the way back in Isaiah 61, was talking about and pointing to.
Right.
And today I bring it up because Jesus does that stuff, but he can also use us to do that stuff because of the filling of the Holy Spirit for those who are filled with the Spirit. We can see and tell others good news. We can help them, the poor. We can give them good news. That's not just financially poor. That is spiritually poor. To help them. Because listen, it doesn't matter if you don't have anything in the bank at all. If Jesus is the Savior of your heart, guess what? You've got something.
Amen.
He's awesome. You've got everything. That's right. Thank you. You've got everything. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. You know what? That's what God's believers can do. And on behalf of other people, you can, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you can bring comfort to someone else who's broken and in pieces.
Right.
We can see captives set free. Guess what? There's all kinds of things that hold people captive.
Right.
All kinds of things. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Goodness, there's many other things. See, the Holy Spirit has the power to break that and to give them freedom and release from that captivity. Anybody thankful about those things today?
Amen.
So that's what I believe. That's what the Holy Spirit. That's why God wants to fill His people with His Spirit, so we can see things like that happening in our lives, in our church, in our community. Let me share another one. This is New Testament one, Acts chapter 3. This is another example. Acts chapter 3, verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter. Now remember, this is the account where Peter and John are heading to the temple. They're going to worship the Lord. And there is this lame man, and he's begging, right?
Yeah.
He's asking for money. He's sitting there. Maybe he had some friends bring him up that way from his home. And he's laying on a mat. And he's just saying, hey, maybe he's got a little can. Maybe he's got something that people could put money in. And he's in need. Financially. But guess what? He's in more than financial need, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, that is, he asked them for some money. Verse 4, Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." Now, let me remind you, the previous chapter, chapter 2, that was what happened on the day of Pentecost. So this was sometime shortly after. After Peter and John were both filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, mind you. And they said, hey, friend, look at us. Verse 5. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Can't you imagine? Usually, I would suspect that most people didn't even make eye contact, let alone said, hey, look at me, friend. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The panhandlers on the side at the stoplight. How many of you don't ever look their direction? I'm not saying you should give to them or not give to them. You probably already made up your mind on that one anyhow. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Verse 6. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. I don't have any money for you, friend. But I'll give you what I have. Wow. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Can I point something out to you this morning? He didn't even pray.
No.
He didn't even pray. Well, hold on, hang on. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, and he didn't repeat the Lord's Prayer and said, well, Jesus taught us how to pray like this. Hold on, and we'll get to your need here in just a moment. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. He didn't do that.
No.
Because he's walking in a personal relationship with Jesus already.
Yes.
And now, recently, he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He knows that the power of God is real.
Amen.
But in reality, if you go back maybe even a year or two in John and Peter's life, Jesus had already sent them out.
Right.
But then, as I mentioned last Sunday, Jesus said, hey, go, don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with power.
Right.
Now they're filled with power. And Peter says, I don't have any money for you, friend. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. I know that there's power in this mighty name. I know the Holy Spirit works through me, is what Peter was saying. And he said, hey, buddy, go ahead and just get on up. Take up your mat, go on home. You're healed.
Amen.
And matter of fact, it says, what's the next verse say? Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. So he takes it, he says, here, come on, get up in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, I'm going to help you. And he helps him up. Can you imagine the lame person might have been like, pretty good, this is going to be embarrassing if it doesn't happen.
Right.
But maybe faith overrode that fear. Because you know there could have been faith in Peter's heart too. I'm sorry, fear in Peter's heart as well. Saying, well, what if it doesn't happen? It doesn't sound like there was any doubt in Peter's heart or in his mind. He said, get up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You get up. Here, let me help you. And picks him up.
Yeah.
And what does it say? And as he did, go back to that 7. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And verse 8, he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This is powerful.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Right.
He does powerful things.
Amen.
Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. He may begin to follow those guys. Like, teach me all you guys know. I want to know more. The power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but Pastor, that can't happen today. Who says?
Exactly.
Who says? You say? Who are you to say?
Right.
I've got the Word of God that I'm standing on.
Amen.
Let's all stand on the Word. Amen. Let's stand on the Word. We can see these things happen. They do happen.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Let our faith be increased. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to take you to Acts chapter 6 now. Because I want to show you the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this would be equivalent use of words to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Uh-oh. There's a little bit of trouble in the church. It seemed like all churches are imperfect.
True.
Okay, the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Verse 2. So the 12, that's the apostles, called a meeting of the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." Verse 3. "And so, brothers, we want you to select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom." Did you catch that? "We will give them this responsibility." Wow. So, pointing out with this scripture here, the apostles, they determined in this passage that it was necessary that those who ran the food program, those who served food, they ought to be, one, respectable, and two, full of the Holy Spirit. They should have been baptized in the Spirit, and not just a one-time thing, but an every day, a reoccurring thing in their life. It ought to be clear that they're full of the Spirit.
Yes.
Are you seeing that? Wow. And we fuss that deacons need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's give these guys that responsibility.
Yes.
Wow. It is important. I hope that you're seeing the pattern of the Word of God in the New Testament, that God's people were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not making this stuff up.
Right.
It's throughout. Look, if you don't believe me, jump into the New Testament in particular. Jump in there, find it, look for it, and you will see it. Ask God to make it clear to you. Now I want to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at some of the gifts that God gives to the church, God gives to His people. And so I think this comes along with the power. Matter of fact, I believe that the verses that we looked at, where Peter, this lame man was healed, when Peter said, "Hey, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you." I believe that the Holy Spirit was working in his life, absolutely. And I believe that God gave him a revelation and allowed him to operate with this gift of healing in that moment. And likely a gift of faith. And so, we're going to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 7. It says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Look at that.
Right.
A spiritual gift, a gift of the Spirit, is given to each of us so we can help each other.
Yes.
Looky there. How cool is that? But that's not always the case, because some people are opposed and closed off to the gifts of the Spirit. That should not be. Let's be open to what the Holy Spirit wants in our hearts and lives and in our church. What do you say?
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Verse 8. To one person, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, gives the ability to give wise advice. Some translations say a word of wisdom.
Right.
Okay? This is not just any everyday wise advice. This is something that God drops in the heart of his follower, and they share that with another.
Right.
Okay? That is a gift of the Spirit. To the one person, the Spirit gives this ability. And it's not necessarily something that we always walk in, but this is something that can be that. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit can use you in multiple gifts and abilities. And it goes on, to another person, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Okay? So some is a gift of knowledge, or a word of knowledge, and some is a word of wisdom. The difference would be One is how to apply it. One, and the other would be something that's going on.
Right.
It could be something like, hey, I just feel that the Lord is saying to me, and you're speaking to somebody else, maybe one-on-one. It could be something like, hey, God showed me that there's something in your past, and maybe even something specific he could show somebody. And then that what that would do then would be like, oh man, that's you're right. Maybe I ought to listen to this person. Because they probably have the best message ever told, the gospel, right? And then we can tell them about Jesus. I hope that's making sense this morning. Verse 9, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. Okay, this is the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit rise up in us at times and give us this great faith, this gift of great faith to see something happen. Matter of fact, I believe that for these healings, gift of healing, I think that this gift also has to accommodate it most of the time. Let's see, the same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Other versions use the word gifts of healing to help us to understand that it wouldn't matter what the healing needed to be or what they were being healed of. Okay, so we've got faith, gift of faith, and the gift of healing. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Verse 10, he gives one person the power to perform miracles. What's a miracle? Well, a miracle really would be something other than healing, because healing would be classified under healing. Miracles would be anything to do with weather or defying natural laws. Like in the Old Testament, the axe head floated. That would be a miracle. Things like that. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. Okay, prophecy would be a message from the Lord that would either correct or strengthen, edify the church, okay, or that individual who's hearing you. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. That is important. We want to know. We want to know if something is from God or not, right? And then, still on the next slide, still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. All right. So this these two right here. These two should go hand in hand. We learn that in chapter 14, a couple chapters later. And so we have, those are the gifts that the Spirit gives to his people. And I want to point out this morning, because it's kind of hard to see in the scripture, but I want to point out this morning that there is a difference between speaking in tongues in a service and as a gift in that way, and compared to a prayer language that an individual prays, and the individual prayer does not have to be interpreted. And I want to help you to see that here in a moment. I think I missed a verse. Verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So we just ask the Lord, and I want to, this next scripture is going to help us, because chapter 13 is what we call the love chapter.
Yep.
And it's very, very important. And in that chapter, he's saying, Paul writes, and he's basically saying, guys, none of these gifts are so important that you can't have love accompanying it.
Right.
That love is important. Love. Otherwise, you're just making noise. And so he tells us in, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, and I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. If you need to go back, I would encourage you to do that. Go back and listen to this if you didn't catch all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, let love be your highest goal. And that comes right after chapter 13, the love chapter. Okay, so obviously we want to learn to love and to show love. And then he goes on, he says, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. Looky there. You should eagerly desire those gifts. And he says here, especially the ability to prophesy. Now, why is that? Well, we learn as you read on in this particular book that apparently they were kind of overusing the and allowing that to prevail and overrun everything else in their church services, the gift of tongues, that is, speaking in tongues. And so he's saying, guys, he goes on and says it's important to have that each one of those prophecies better than tongues. He says, unless it's interpreted. Why? It's because you want to understand what's being said.
Yes.
Doesn't that make sense? Otherwise, if somebody speaks in tongues, you don't know what they're saying. Matter of fact, neither do they. So we want to know what's being said so that we can all be edified. Matter of fact, Paul says, hey, someone who prays in a tongue, they edify themselves, but no one else is edified because they don't understand what's being said. I want to skip down to verse 28, and this helps us, gives us a little bit of understanding. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28. This verse gives us a little bit of understanding about our prayer language. He says, but if no one is present, who can interpret? That would be interpret the gift of tongues in a service. They must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. So here we see that this is that, and remember, we went to, last Sunday we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and there is an initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As I took you through those passages in Acts, those accounts in the early church, when the Holy Spirit fell on people and baptized them, it said that they would speak in other tongues. They would speak in a new language, a heavenly language, some have said. Matter of fact, that's what verse 1 of chapter 13 says. They would speak in an angelic language. So that would be then considered your prayer language, and then the believer is opened up to God using them in any of the other gifts that we talked about in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, but there's a difference between speaking in tongues in a service and that prayer language. Okay, not much of a difference, but one is for you and the other one is for everybody. So if you feel any time that God wants to speak through you in that way, that it is for everybody, that is okay and welcomed. Okay? Here's a couple of pointers. I would encourage you to try to find the right time to do that.
Yes.
And again, in chapter 14, Paul clarifies and says, it needs to be interpreted.
Yes.
Otherwise, you need to just go ahead and pray to God privately in tongues. Okay?
Yes.
So there is this prayer language that I use often. Matter of fact, in chapter 14, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So it's not that we should not speak in tongues. He was saying, well, in a service, we need to know what's being said as well. All right? But how many know that tongues gets everybody's attention?
Yep.
All right. Praise the Lord. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to point out to you in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for some of the time. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words.
Amen.
Looky there. Sometimes we don't know what we should pray for.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit will then pray through us, either through these groanings or through this prayer language. And then in verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Isn't that awesome? The Father knows what the Spirit is saying, even through groanings. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will.
Right.
And He does that through us. These groanings or with this prayer language, these words that we do not know, but the Holy Spirit gives us, that we speak out. So I want to go over a few things with you. I've tried to share today a few of the benefits of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there on the screen are those benefits. The Holy Spirit will come alongside to help you. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
He's not only a comforter. Because there's times in our life where we don't need comforting. We just simply need to know which way to go. Right? There's other times we do need someone to comfort us. And the Holy Spirit's great about that. And to remind us. He will remind us of Jesus. He will lead us in the right ways. The Holy Spirit will help you pray the Father's will. We just looked into that one.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will reveal God's word to you.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will produce godly character in your life.
Yes.
These are some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, though this is not exhaustive. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit in my life. It was not very long after I gave my heart to Christ at 19 years old. The Holy Spirit, I responded to a message similar to this and came to an altar and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The evidence of speaking in tongues. Julie, I remember yours. Was that a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was 2018.
Awesome.
July.
Okay. Yeah. Praise the Lord. She was ready. She was for sure ready.
Yeah.
I tried to prime her and get her ready, but she was already ready. It was
Holy
wonderful.
Holy Spirit told me to come here and ask you to pray for me.
God's good.
Isn't
he good? He is. Let me mention on the next slide a few hindrances that will keep a person from being filled. It'd be known sin in your life. Known sin. Another hindrance would be unbelief. Doubt. Well, I don't know if that's really for me. I don't know if that's really for us nowadays. I thought I had taken us through the scripture to see that it was for today. Peter preached in his first sermon after being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, this gift, this promise, this gift is for you and for your children and for all who the Lord our God will call.
Amen.
That promise, that gift that he was speaking of was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There was no expiration date on that promise or that gift. Matter of fact, as I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit, that the outpouring of God's Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was God's first fruit for all believers from then on.
Amen.
Starting on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Praise God. So get rid of unbelief. Get rid of sin. Another hindrance could be a lack of desire. Well, I don't see what the big deal is. Another hindrance could be your heart being closed, not open to what God has for you. So I want to give you some helps to receiving. We talked about sin on the last slide. We've got to get right with God. Make sure that there's nothing in the way, nothing standing in the way and keeping you and separating you from God. That'd be the first step. Another help would be to ask God in faith. Believe that he will do it. Faith is important. This one is very important as well. When seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, want to encourage people to worship God.
Yes.
And to seek the giver, not the gift.
Amen.
At the same time, you can say, God, if this is from you, then would you please fill me? That's appropriate. But at the same time, I would encourage you to keep your eyes on him. He is the gift giver. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And that gift is for each and every one of us. It is God's intention, it is God's design that each one of his followers receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so, I would encourage you with this. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano. As you seek the Lord to be filled, I would encourage you to worship God. And as you're worshiping, there will be a filling up. And it's sort of like filling a cup with water. I believe that God wants to fill you to overflowing. So he fills you up so high that you begin, therefore, that he begins to overflow out of you and impacting the lives of others around you. I believe that is God's design. And as that filling happens, you just have to yield your mouth to him. Yield your tongue to him. I think that there's a misconception. I think that some believe that this is kind of like an out-of-body experience where God takes over completely. And that's just not the case. He gives you the words in your heart of hearts or in your mind. I'm not exactly sure. And what the believer then does with those words or even syllables is we speak them. You're in control of your mouth the whole time. You can start, you can stop when you want to. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yes.
In other words, the prophet's still in control and can say no and not say what God wants him to say. God does not take over the prophet, nor does God take over the believer that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God simply drops in the words. There have been times in my life where the Holy Spirit just dropped and revealed something to me. And just instantly I knew it. It wasn't that he gave me words in that case. He gave me everything I needed at the moment.
Yes.
For whatever I was dealing with. And then other times God just leads little by little. Okay? But the point is, he's the one who gives it. And we just say, how do you receive? Okay, thank you. Right? That's how we receive. And so this morning, if you're here and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking of the tongues, you want to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as I've been preaching about these last three Sundays, I'm going to encourage you to come on up to the front. I'm going to have a couple other believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit helping. Pastor Brandy, she'll come up and help. And so we just want to believe God. Okay? This is for today. And this is for God to empower you to serve him, to empower you and give you different gifts at different times to glorify him. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
I think it's exciting. So come on up, those of you ready to receive. Again, if there's anything in the way, I encourage you to get that out of the way first. The Lord. I want to encourage the rest of you, if you don't need to receive, I want to encourage you to just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. He is so good. He is so good. And maybe, you know, this is not just a one-time thing, and it's not all about tongues. What it's about is God's empowerment to reach other people and impact their lives. That's what it's all about. But we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, guys, you need to wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need that. And then, as I pointed out last Sunday, in Acts chapter 8, many people came to, in Samaria, many people gave their hearts to Christ. And Peter and John came into town, and they said, man, this is great, this is awesome. People are giving their hearts to Christ. But hey, can I ask you, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? They prayed for him. Same kind of thing in Acts chapter 19. Paul meets 12 men. None of them had been filled with the Holy Spirit, but he knew that they were believers. And he said, well, hey, What baptism did you receive? In other words, you guys need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He prays with them. He lays hands on them. And they were filled. This is for today, church. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Search your scriptures. Ask the Lord. And He'll fill you. Let's worship the Lord.